Today's daf is Horios daf Yud Aleph. We are holding on the bottom of daf Yud Amud Beis, a few lines from the end of the page, at Amr of Yehuda Amar Rav, about 5 lines before the end of the page. So we're going to continue to discuss doing mitzvah shalol lishma and how it benefited certain people in history to do mitzvahs even though they did it shalol lishma. In that context, the Gemara is going to tell us 2 lessons that we learned from the daughters of Lot. The Gemara is then going to quote a brisa that quotes a drasha that excludes a nasi and a kohen gadol from the regular carbon hediot. And the Gemara is going to wonder, why do I need a drasha to exclude them from regular carbon hediot? I have explicit psukim that tell me that they're chayiv their own carbon. So the Gemara is going to work on that, and then we're going to raise 2 different shilos with regard to a change in a person's status after doing an avera but before bringing a carbon. And does that change in the status affect in any way his obligation to bring a carbon? The Gemara on the bottom is then going to discuss a mumar, that a mumar cannot bring a carbon, the source of that din, and the definition of what's a mumar versus what's a tzeduki, how one gets defined as a mumar. Then on Amud Beis, we're going to define who qualifies as a nasi to bring a special carbon. Is it dafka only someone who's mamish a melech? Rebbe wonders, as Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, would he qualify for the special carbon of a nasi? Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to bring the halachos of a kohen mashiach versus a kohen that's a kohen gadol based on meruba begadim versus a kohen sha'avar, a former kohen gadol, and which halachos change when a person becomes a former kohen gadol. The Gemara is going to discuss in detail the shemen hamishcha, how the shemen hamishcha was made, what the shemen hamishcha was needed for, the miracles that happened in the production of the shemen hamishcha, and then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss various kings who needed the Shemen HaMishcha because there was some sort of machlokas as to their malchus, so they required Shemen HaMishcha in order to establish them as a proper king. So let's begin 5 lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Yudam Beis Amrav Yudam Rav Liolam Yasakad Matar Mitzvah Afilu Shalol Lishma Shemitok Shalol Lishma Balishma, that a person should engage in Torah Mitzvahs even if he's not doing it Lishma, because since he does it Shalol Lishma, ultimately he'll come to a sense of Lishma. Shebischar Mem Beis Karbanos Sheikrav Balak Harasha Zachav Yatsim Menu Rus, in the schar of the 42 Karbanos that Balak Harasha brought, Rus was descended from him. So even though it was obviously something that was shalol lishma, it was worse than shalol lishma. He was doing it lekanter. He was doing it dafka to get klal Yisrael, to attack klal Yisrael. So it was much worse than a shalol lishma. And yet there's schar for that. There's schar for that, that he was zochah to have Rus descend from him. Marsha raises the kasha that Tosfos in a couple of places in Shas, when the Gemara talks about doing mitzvos shalol lishma, the Gemara says that in some places the Gemara says like over here, in Pesachim it says like over here, that it's a wonderful thing, do shalol lishma, one day it will be bal lishma. And other places the Gemara says, no, it's a sama maves, Gemara in Tainis and elsewhere, that it's a horrible thing to do mitzvah shalol lishma. So Tosfos says, well, it depends what your kavana is. If you're doing it shalol lishma, meaning you enjoy the kavod, people are going to think that you're a from person and they're going to like you and they're going to be nice to you. So that's a good kind of shalol lishma. Keep doing that. And if it's social pressure, that's your type of shalol lishma, ultimately it will lead to lishma. But if your shalol lishma is lekanter, you're doing it to do terrible things, so then that's a bad kind of shalol lishma. If a person is using the Torah as a weapon with which to hurt other people, so that's a horrible shalol lishma. So the Mashal raises the question, why is Balak Zocha to have Rus descend from him because of his shalol lishma? L'chari, he's in the wrong category of shalol lishma. So that's a major kasha. So the Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Rus bas bino shal Eglon, ben bino Shal Balak Melech Moab, that Rus was the descendant of Eglon, who in turn was a descendant of Balak. Amram Chia Bar Abba, 2 lines from the bottom, Yerim Beis. Amram Chia Bar Abba, Amram Yochanan. Minayin Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Afilu Schar Sicha Na'a. How do I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not withhold Schar even for just speaking in a more refined way than you otherwise could have? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Schar for every little thing. Mehacha, from the story of Lot and his 2 daughters. De'ilu B'chira De'kariya Moav Amlei Rechman El-Mosha Al-Tetzar S'mav Al-Tizkar Ba-Milchama. The older older daughter who decided to name her child Moav. So the Torah says that that Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu when he tells him about the war with Moav, that Al Tetzaras Moav Al Tiskar Ba Milchama. So we darshan, yeah, Milchama Hudalo. You're not allowed to make Milchama with Moav, Hatsuri Tsarinu, but you're allowed to cause Tsar to Moav. You're allowed to cause them anguish. Whereas the Ilutziira Dekarya Ben Ami, the younger daughter who had a child and called that child Ben Ami, which is more of a Lashon Nekiya, it was less drawing attention to the fact that this was a child that was born from her father. So Amar Lei, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu when he tells Bnei Yisrael about the war with Ammon, Al Titzurim v'Al Tiskarbam. That not just Al Tiskarbam Milchama. Al Titzurim Klal Afilu Tzurelo. You're not allowed to cause them tsar even. So that's the schar of speaking in a more refined kind of way. Amar Abchia Bar Oven Amar Abishu Ben Karcha. Lo Olam Yaktim Adam LeDevar Mitzvah Shebischar Laila Acha Shekadma Bechira Letzira Zachsav Kadma Sarba Doros L'Malchus. That a person should also try to be the first one to go and do a Devar Mitzvah, because the schar of the Bechira going before the Tzira, the older daughter going before the younger daughter, she was rewarded with having four generations with her family entering the Malchus Yisrael four generations earlier, because the older daughter had Rus Hamoavia, the son of Rus, Hashem Oved, who was the father of Yishai, who was the father of David. The younger one had Nama Hamonis descend, and she was and she didn't get into the family of the Malchus Beis David until the generation of David's son Shlomo had Rechavam, that was David's grandson. So it was four generations before Rechavam that the descendant of Moav got into the Malchus Beis David. So how did she get in four generations earlier? Because she was more eager to go ahead and do the mitzvah, even though it wasn't a mitzvah. The previous drasha spoke about how the younger one was better in a certain sense. The younger one was better in the way that she spoke about the action in speaking in a more refined way. The older one was better, is credited with having gone ahead and done it first. Tan Rabbanan. So we have a brisa. Me'ama aretz prat l'mashiach, me'ama aretz prat l'nasi. When the pasuk talks about a regular karban that an individual brings for an aveira, it says me'ama aretz. So we darshan two important drashos. First of all, that a kohen mashiach, a kohen gadol, it's mashiach b'shem l'mishcha, is excluded from that regular karban. Second of all, a king is excluded from that regular karban. So says Gemara, I need a drasha me'ama aretz to exclude these two people from the regular karban. But don't we already have psukim that explicitly tell us that there are special karbanos that the nasi and the mashiach are chayavin? Why do I need a drasha me'ama aretz? So says Gemara, no, you need the drasha because sheyachal mashiachal helam davar im shigas meisim maybe par. Yeah, a kohen gadol brings a par, but when does a kohen gadol bring a par? Not just when he doesn't have a b'shogeg. It has to be that he issues an erroneous psak, and based on that psak, he doesn't have a b'shogeg. So I would assume, but what if he just stam doesn't have a b'shogeg? So al shigas meisa lechudei maybe kisfu seira. I would assume that if he just does a regular avera b'shogeg, he should bring a regular carbon for an avera b'shogeg. Tamalomer me'ama aretz prat l'mashiach me'ama aretz prat l'nasi. That's why I need me'ama aretz to exclude a kohen gadol and a nasi from the regular carbon chatas. Says the Gemara, you just explained very well why the kohen gadol needs to be excluded from a regular carbon chatas, because the kohen gadol special carbon is only something that he's going to be chayiv if it comes along with a mistaken hora'ah. So tenach mashiach, that explains very nicely the kohen gadol el nasi b'shigas meisu demaisi. But a melech, a nasi, brings his special carbon even stam, he just does a regular aveira, nothing to do with any psak halacha. So why do I need me'ama aretz to exclude a nasi from a regular chatas? Isn't he automatically excluded? Am Rav Zin Mishrei Drava, hach me'askinan, kigon sha'achal kezayis chelev kishu hedyot. The case that this pasuk is teaching about is a guy eats a kezayis of chelev when he's a regular guy, and then vinismana, then he becomes king, va'acharkach nodalo, and then he realizes, whoa, what did I have for lunch yesterday? That was chaylev. So he realizes an avera that he did as a head yot after he was already mamuna as a melech. So salkadai tachamina, nice kisva osiira. I might think you should bring a regular carbon chatos like a regular guy. Kamash malan. That's why we need to be told that no, he doesn't bring a regular carbon chatos like a regular person. Says Gemara, that's great if you assume that that's true, so that he wouldn't bring a regular carbon chatos. So then this is where we learn it from. Me'am aretz prat lenasi. If you follow Rabbi Shimon's Shita, who says that when you're determining which carbon to bring, you follow the time that he finds out about his Avera, so that's very good. He found out about his Avera after he was already Melech, so good, so he's not going to bring a regular carbon chatas. But if you hold like the Rabbanan, that your type of carbon is determined by who you were when you did the Avera, so then a guy who does the Avera as a hedyot and then becomes a melech should bring the carbon of a hedyot. So what are we learning from Me'am Aretz? Elo Amrav Zid Mishmei Derava Hachav Me'askinan. Now the case is that we're learning from Me'am Aretz that to exclude a melech from bringing a regular guy's carbon is not the case that we just described. It's a different case. Kigon Sha'achal Chatzi Kezayis Chelav Kshu Hedyot. He eats a half a kezayis when he's a regular guy, v'nismana, then he becomes melech, and then v'shlimo, then he eats the other half of kezayis, v'acharkach nodelo, he's in the middle of lunch, and they come and inform him that he's become the melech, and they anoint him as melech, in the middle of lunch. So what does he do? He finishes lunch, right? He's still in the middle of lunch, so he finishes lunch. He ate a half of kezayis before, he's a melech, now he eats another half of kezayis. And then he says, oh no, this lunch, where did I get it from? And he realizes that he just ate chaylev. So salkadai dechamin and mitzarif and isi kispo siira, I may think that it should be all be mitzarif to the same achila, and it should be he should bring a regular carbon hedyot, kamash malan. That's where we need to be told that no, a nasi is excluded from a regular carbon hedyot. Meaning, even though, according to this shita in Tanayim, if he were to eat the full kezayis as a hedyot and then become the melech, he would still bring a regular hedyot's carbon, but over here he only ate half a kezayis as a hedyot, so it doesn't combine. So now, once we're talking about combining half here, half there, before, after, the Gemara raises two shailas about combining. What if a person becomes a nasi in the middle? Is that mafsik his chi of carbon? So what does that mean? Kugon sha'achal chatzi kezayis chelev kshu hedyot. A guy eats a half of kezayis of chelev when he's a hedyot. V'nismana, then he becomes a melech. V'avar, and then he becomes impeached or whatever, he's no longer the melech. V'shlimo, and then he finishes lunch. Then he eats the other half of the kezayis. Maybe the reason why in the previous case where he ate a half a kezayis when he was a hedyot and a half when he was a nasi, we said he's not chayv a karban because the two half kezayis were eaten in a different with different status. First half when he was a hedyot, second half when he was a nasi. But in this case that we're suggesting now, aval hacha di idi vi idi kshu hedyot achlei, but both half kezayisim in our case, in this case we're suggesting now, were when he was a hedyot. It's just that one of them was when he was a hedyot before becoming melech, and the other half of kezayis was when he was a hedyot after being melech. So maybe mitzdarif, maybe it should be mitzdarif. Odil maloshna, maybe it doesn't make a difference that it's not mitzdarif when you put his status of being a melech smack in the middle of his avera. So what's the halacha? So tifshalei meha says Gemara. Maybe we could suggest that we can answer this question from the following. Damru lamar v'yochanan. Achal chelev v'hifrish karban. What if a person eats chelev and then he designates a karban for eating chelev? He realizes what he did. He designates an animal as a karban and then v'hemir. Then he rejects the religion entirely. Then v'chazer bavo. Then he does tshuva. He wants to re-accept the religion and now he's got this animal that he had designated as a karban. Can he now bring the animal as a karban? Says the Gemara, hol v'nidche yidche. Once that animal was not qualified to be used as a carbon because, and the Gemara is making an assumption that we know this at this point, the Gemara later on will figure out how we know this, a mumar cannot bring a carbon. Someone who's stam, doesn't believe in anything, doesn't observe anything, is not allowed to bring a carbon. So since in his state of being a mumar he was not able to bring a carbon, now that he's done tshuva, his carbon cannot become valid again. So we could say the same thing over here. A nasi doesn't bring a carbon hedyot. So since he became a nasi in the middle, even though now he's back to being a hedyot, he doesn't bring a carbon hedyot. So it says mar hachi hashta mumar lav barasuya carbonu. No, there's a big difference. A mumar cannot bring any carbon. Umumar is not able to bring carbonos at all. He's completely nidche from the parsha of carbonos. Ha barasuya carbonu. A nasi brings carbon. It's just different halachos of carbon. So he has his own carbon. So maybe that's not called dichoy. The whole concept of dichoy in this context is a little bit different than we normally have it. Normally the dichoy when it comes to carbonos is that the animal is nidche from the carbon. This is a little bit of a different kind of sugya of dichoy. It's where the person is nidche from the carbon. It's not where there was some psul in the animal that came up. Now another shayla about a change of status. Rabbi Zeira asks Rabbi Sheshes the following: Achal safek chelav kshu hedyot v'nismana. Guy eats a safek chelav when he's a hedyot, where normally the requirement would be an asham talui because he wasn't sure whether it in fact was chelav, and then v'nismana, then he becomes the melech v'nodelo al sfeko, and he realizes what he had done. So mahu. So certainly if you say that you follow the Rabbanan, that you look at what he was when he did the Avera, there's no Shaila. He's still going to bring an Hashem Talui, because when he did the Avera, he was a regular guy who ate Safik Chelev. Elokiti Bailach Alibid Rabbi Shimon. But the Shaila is according to Rabbi Shimon. Midi Ishtani Levadai Ishtani Lesafik. Odilma ki ishtani levadai di ishtani carbon di day. Avalachat al ishtani carbon day imalaisi yashan talui. You see, when he becomes a melech, and if he were to eat a safek chelev at that point, he would still just bring an Hashem Talui. His din of Hashem Talui didn't change. When you become a melech, what changes is if you do an avera bevadai, if you ate vadai chelev. So good, so you're going to tell me that if he did the avera as a hedyot, and then he discovers the avera as a melech, so he's not going to bring the same carbon, he's not going to bring the carbon because we look at when he found out about the avera, yeah, that's when his halacha changed. But Hashem Talui is the same halacha, whether he's hedyot or a melech. So even though his status changed, maybe he doesn't change his Hashem Talui Chiyuv. So the Gemara is not sure. The Gemara leaves that unresolved. Meaning the Lambda seems to be, is this about the carbon, meaning do we view the Hashem Talui of a melech as the same thing as the Hashem Talui of a hedyot? Or do we say no, that once he's a melech, even though it happens to be that he's chayv in Hashem Talui, it's a different Hashem Talui. It's an Hashem Talui Shel Melech. An Hashem Talui Shel Melech is fundamentally different than an Hashem Talui of a hedyot. Tana Rabbanan, Me'ama Aretz Prat Lemumar. So an additional limud from Me'ama Aretz, in addition to excluding the Melech and the Nasi, a mumar cannot bring a regular carbon. And this we assumed before, now the Gemara actually spells it out. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo te'asena bishkaga ve'ashev. And we learn from there, Hashav b'yidiyaso mevi carbon al shigaso, lo shav b'yidiyaso eno mevi carbon al shigaso. You know, and we know that someone who doesn't care about the whole religion doesn't bring a carbon. One of the requirements to bring the carbon is that you have to be the kind of person that if you were to find out that what you were about to do was an avera, you wouldn't do it. That you would refrain from the Avera. And that's why now that you find out retrospectively that you did the Avera, you're going to bring a carbon. But if you're a person who, even knowing that it was an Avera, you know, someone comes over to you and says, no, don't eat that, it's not kosher, I don't care, and you eat it anyway, then such a person never brings a carbon for his Avera. So two different limudim of how we know that a mumar doesn't bring a carbon. Either it's from Me'ama Aretz, or it's based on this idea of Shav Mi Yidiyasa. Says Mar Mai Binayim. What's an afkamina where we learn that a mumar doesn't bring carbon. Nafkamina might be, what if he's a mumar to eat chelev? That's his weakness. He doesn't care about the yisra of chelev. And then he eats dam bishogig. Does he bring a carbon? So Mar Savatanakam would say, kimad mumar lechel chelev ledam nami mumar havi, that it's not about this affair, it's about being a mumar. La'ama aret prat lemumar. So if he's a mumar for anything, he cannot bring any carbon. Umar Savar, whereas the second Shita would say, L'dam yashav b'yidiyasahu. What would have happened when he was about to eat that dam, when he was about to drink that dam, if you would have said, no, don't eat that, that's dam, it's not cranberry juice, it's dam. So what would he do? He wouldn't eat it, because he's only a mumar for chelev. So that's what we call a shav b'yidiyasahu. So he would be eligible for the carbon. Says Gemara v'amar v'harava amar, de kulei alma mumar lechel chelev lo avi mumar l'dam. But didn't Rava teach us that if a person's a mumar for chilev, he's not a mumar ladam, and therefore even the Tanakama should say that he should be chayev a karban. Elahacha, you know what the nafkamina between the two shitos is. Ba'ochel nevelu l'teyavon v'nischalif lo b'shuman va'achlo k'miflagi. He eats nevelu l'teyavon, he has a taiva for nevela, and then he chilev and shuman got confused, and he ate chilev thinking that it was shuman. So marsav rekivim l'teyavon achal b'mezid mumarhu. Since he would eat it l'teyavon b'mezid, he's considered a mumar. The other shita is no, he only eats l'teyavon, which means he only eats it when there's no other meat available. So yeah, he ate nevela, but he ate nevela thinking that it was kosher. Now, why does that matter? He would eat nevela anyway? Not always. He would eat nevela anyway if there was no kosher meat available. But he wouldn't eat nevela if there is kosher meat available. He's a bal taiva, he likes to eat meat. So that's the shaila. Is he considered a mumar in that regard when he does the avera b'shogeg? Now, new discussion. Achal chelev zehu mumar. How do we define a mumar? So the Brisa says, a guy who eats chelev, that's a mumar. Ve'ezu mumar, then strangely, right after defining a mumar, the Brisa says, oh, and what is a mumar? Achal nevelos, trefos, shkatsim, uramasim, v'shasi yayinesech. He eats all other sorts of machalos asuros. He drinks yayinesech. Rabbi Yudomer, afalovish klayim, even someone who wears shatnis. So Amar Mar. So let's go back to analyze this price. So what's going on over here? Achal chelev zehu mumar. Ve'ezu mumar ochel nevelos. Mike Homer, what are you talking about? You just said that an ochel chelev is a mumar, and then you say, what's a mumar? A guy who eats nevelos, trefos, shkatzim, ramasim. So Amar Rabbi Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, hachi kamar. Now there needs to be a little bit more commentary added to the brisa. Ochel chelev l'teyavon hareza mumar. If he eats chelev l'teyavon, so good, that's a mumar. Lahachis harizet stuki. Oh, that's a key line that we're adding in. If he eats lahachis, then he's not a mumar anymore. He's worse. He's a tztuki. So, meaning lahachis, Rashi defines as someone who has heter available to him, and nevertheless, he chooses the non-kosher on purpose. He walks down Central Avenue, all the restaurants are kosher, he finds the one non-kosher, that's the one he chooses. That's lahachis. That's a tztuki. Vezu mumar dibistamot tztuki. And what kind of mumar do we have the right to assume is a tztuki? Meaning, what kinds of averus do you see a person doing where you say, okay, come on, that's just lahachis already. There's no way he has a taiva for that. So v'yomer ochel nevela utrefa shkatzum urmasim v'shasi yayinesech. I would not have necessarily made that assumption, right? The Brisa is saying that if he eats these things, there's no way he has a taiva for these things. So shkatzum urmasim is the key. Shkatzum urmasim are not appetizing things. No, he eats them because he's a lahachisnik. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudo omer, afalovish klayim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says, even someone who wears shatnis is a mumar. So my benai, what's the difference between Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama? Whether it's an ochel nevelos that's a mumar, or someone who wears klayim that's a mumar. So ike benayu, klayim derabanan. What if the shatnis he wears is only shatnis midrabanan? Meaning for something to be shatnis daraisa, there's a much higher standard of a mixture that has to be shor tava v'noz. You have to have the threads, the individual threads mixed. For shatnis derabanan, you just happen to have somewhere in the garment. You could have the lining is one thing, and the outside of the garment something else, and that's shatnes drabanan. So klayim drabanan is enough kamina. Mar sever midaraisa avimumar drabanan lo avimumar. That only if he violates daraisa, the Tanakhama would say he's a mumar. For drabanan, he's not called a mumar. It's not good, but he's not called a mumar. Umar sever klayim given the mefarsim misure afil b'drabanan avimumar. And the second shita, Rabbi Yehuda's shita, is that everyone knows about shatnes. Shatnes is something that even though it's a drabanan, it's a very well-known drabanan, very widely accepted drabanan, and therefore, if someone goes and wears shatnez, so that's considered to be a mumar. Pligiber Ravacha Ravina. So you have Machlokas Ravacha and Ravina. Chad Amr L'Teyavon Mumar Lahachis Tzduki V'chad Amr Lahachis Nami Mumar Ele'ezu Tzduki Kol Ovid Avod Tzchavim. How do you define the difference between a Mumar and a Tzduki? So one of them holds, it all depends why he does the Averos. If his motivation is Taiva, that's a Mumar. If his motivation is Lahachis, that's a Tzduki. And the other one says, no, even Lahachis is still only a Mumar. only avodah zara would qualify one as a tzduki. So Meisva asks Gemara, achol parush echad or yatush echad hareza mumar. A person eats a parush or a yatush. A person eats an insect, a gnat. That's considered to be a mumar. Well, wait a second. No one enjoys eating insects. No one enjoys eating gnats. They don't even taste like anything. So obviously he's doing a lahachas. And you see you're calling him a mumar. Isn't that a raya that in order to be a tzduki, it's not enough to do lahachas? You have to do avodah zara? Says Mar, no. Who says that he's doing a lahachas when he's eating the gnats? Hasam damar etum tam di yisura. It's a very important chiddush, the Gemara says, that with the definition of the teyavon, doesn't have to mean that he enjoys it. The definition of the teyavon is that it satisfies some desire. So there's a tremendous human desire called curiosity, that a person is told he can't have something. Oh, I'm very curious. I'm curious to know what it is. Not that he's going to enjoy it at all, but he's curious. Satisfying a curiosity is the same as satisfying an urge as far as teyavon is concerned. So that's called taiva because it satisfies a curiosity. So that's he wants to know, you know, what the tamdi su tastes like. Vezu nasi zem melech. So then the Mishnah went on to say that who is the nasi that we're talking about that's chayv a special carbon? Only the melech. So Tan Rabbanan nasi yachol nasi shevet kenachshon benami nadav. When we say nasi, you might think that even includes a nasi shevet like nachshon benami nadav. Tam lom mikol mitzvah shem elokav. That's why it says mikol mitzvah shem elokav. La'olnu amar l'man yilmad liyira es hashem elokav. Then mala alan shein al gabav ela hashem elokav. Just like the pasuk that talks about a melech, it's talking about someone who has no one above him other than God. There's no human being that he has to answer to. So af nasi shein al gabav ela hashem elokav. When we talk about a nasi being chayv a special carbon, what kind of nasi is chayv a special carbon? Someone who only has to answer to God. But if he's less powerful than the most powerful man in the world, then he is not the most powerful Jew in the world. Then he is not considered a nasi. So baymine rebbe mirabitiyah. This caused Rebbe to raise the following question. Kigon ani mahu b'sa'ir. What would I do? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So do I count as a Nasi? Am I powerful enough? Would I bring the special carbon of a Nasi? Amalei haretzaraska Bavel. So he said, no, because there's a Reish Galusa in Bavel, and you have to answer to him. So you don't have a din of a Nasi. So Eisvei, so Rabbi asked Rabbi Chia, but wait, Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Beis David, Elim Avin La'atzmam, Ve'elim Avin La'atzmam. When there was a Melech Yisrael and another Melech who was from the Malchei Beis David, each one had a din of a Nasi, each one would bring the special carbon of a Nasi, would bring a Seir for a Chatas, so why am I any different? I am the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Reish Galusa in Bavel, so it's a partnership, so I should also bring a Seir. So Amalei, Hasam Lo Kaifi Adad, he says, no, the Malchei Beis David didn't have to answer to the Malchei Yisrael, the Malchei Yisrael didn't have to answer to the Malchei Beis David. Hacha, Anan Kaifin Lulu, too. But in our situation, the Reish Galusa in Bavel is the leader of the Jewish community, and everyone has to answer to him. So yes, it's nice that you're a Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, and he made you his lieutenant in Eretz Yisrael, but you still have to answer to him. Rasafra Masniyachir, Rasafra had the mice in the following way, the Baimine Rebbe Mirabichia, Kigonani Mao Bisayir, he wanted to know, do I bring a Sayir? Amr Lei and Rebichia said to him, Hasam Shevet Hachamachokek, that in Bavel, the Reish Galusa has much more authority and is able to do things that you're not able to do. So in Bavel, he's a Melech. You are not a Melech. Vitanya, the Brisa Darshan's the Pasuk in Bereshis Memtes, in Yaakov's Bracha, Lo Yasu Shevim Yehuda Mechokim Ben Raglav, Lo Yasu Shevim Yehuda, Zer Rosh Gola Shev Bavel. Lo Yasu Shevim Yehuda is a reference to the Rosh Gola. And why is it Shevet? Sheroda Es Yisrael B'makel. That he can hit people, he can physically impose his will. Umechokik mibein raglav elu b'nei banav shel hillel shemlamdim torah liyisrael barabim. That's a reference to the nasi. That's the b'nei banav shel hillel zaken. And what's their role? Not that they beat people up and they force their will upon people. They teach Torah to people. So Rebbe, what you do is a very lofty thing. You teach Torah. You're the nasi. You're the descendant of Hillel. That's fantastic. That is not the same as being a melech. What they do in Bavel, that's the same as being a melech. Some of the achronim are bothered by the whole conversation. Well, there was no Beis HaMikdash. So what's Rebbe asking? Did he do an Avera? He had to bring a Seir? It's Mamash Hilchsa L'Mashicha. There's no Tzorech whatsoever. So the Be'er Sheva raises this question. Mitzvah Esan in the back of the Gemara says that Enochinami, by halachas of karban, you don't need to have a nafkamina for right now. You don't say hilchsam neshicha by halachas of karbanos because neshama parmes faseinu. The Gemara says in a couple of places, Maseches Titus elsewhere, that when a person says the parshios of the karbanos, that that's as if he brought the karbanos, and that's why that's where Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Maseches Brachos that reciting the parshios of the karbanos, it could be a kiyum of a mitzvah d'oraisa of bringing the karbanos. So it could be Rebbe wanted to know what should I say in my siddur right before Pesukei Dezimra when I'm saying the karbanos. Do I say the karban of the nasi or do I say a regular karban? And that's a nafkamina la halacha. You needed to know what he's supposed to say. There's a discussion Beis Yosef whether a person is supposed to say the parsha of the chatas, and if he says the parsha of the chatas, should he say the yiratzon that it should count as if he's chayav a chatas? How do you know if you necessarily did an avera for which you're chayav a chatas? So the Torah suggests that say the parsha and don't say any yiratzon because you don't know for sure. And Beis Yosef points out that apparently just saying the words, even without saying a tefillah that this should be in place of, just saying the words itself of a karban, that counts. It counts for something. It counts as a karban. So that's what he wanted to know. There's also extensive literature in the Achronim. In the Sefer Binyan Ariel, my Talmud, Ariel Jacob, points out that there's extensive literature in the Achronim about people, and it's based on the Gemara, about people doing an Avera, and their immediate thing, they write down what Avera that they did so they could know to bring a Chata Shemena when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So it could be Rebbe wanted to know, what should I keep in my notes? What should I keep in my ledger? Do I bring a regular Chatas, or do I bring a Sayer? So it's also enough to mean a Lemaisa in terms of this conversation. Okay, says the Mishnah now. Beizu a Mashiach. What's a Mashiach? What's the definition of Mashiach? Hamashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha v'lo ha-meruba begadim. Meaning, as far as the korban is concerned, a Mashiach is only someone who's Mashiach b'shemen ha-mishcha, not someone who's only a meruba begadim, who only has the status of who only became the Kohen Gadol by wearing the big day kuna gadola. The Mishnah just points out, and by the way, this is the only difference in halacha between a Kohen Gadol who happened to have the Shemana Mishcha and a Kohen Gadol who didn't have the Shemana Mishcha but just had the big day Kohen Gadol. Once we're talking about differences between Kohen and Gadolim, there's no difference between the Kohen who's currently serving as a Kohen Gadol and the former Kohen Gadol, Ela Par Yom HaKippurim V'Asira Se'efa, except for the par that's brought in Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol, and the Asira Seifa, the Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, that's brought every day. Zev Zeh Shavim, Ba'avodas Yom HaKippurim, both of them can do the rest of the Avodah Yom HaKippurim, meaning even a former Kohen Gadol is kosher for Avodah Yom HaKippurim. Umitzuv Mala Basula, both of them have a requirement that they're only allowed to marry a Basula. Va'asur Mala Almana, both of them have an Isur Da'oraisa to marry an Almana. Ve'inu Mitam B'Kroveim, both of them are not allowed to be Mitame even to their close relatives as a Kohen Gadol. Ve'lo Porim, they're not allowed to grow out their hair. Ve'lo Pormim, they're not allowed to tear their clothing. Umachzirin harotzeach, and the death of either one of them would allow someone who killed Bishogeg to be released from an ir miklat. So that's the status of not only the current Kohen Gadol, even the former Kohen Gadol. But our Gemara today is going to focus not on the Kohen Gadolim as much as the Shemana Mishcha. So we started out by saying the Shemana Mishcha is what's there's a difference between a Kohen Meshuach and a Meruv Gadim. So Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa about the Shemana Mishcha. Shemana Mishcha Sha'asa Moshe B'Midbar Hayusholkim Boas Ha'ikarim. The Shemana Mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar, they would soak the besamim, the spices, in the shemen, meaning the shemen had a fragrance and aroma to it because it was mixed with spices. So it would be soaked and cooked in these spices. So, Rabbi Yossi Omer, v'alo lasu chesikar meino sofik. If you look at the quantity of the ingredients, it was so little shemen, there's no, you couldn't even wet all of the spices with the Shemen HaMishcha, meaning that's how little oil it was. So there's no way you could cook it together, there would be no Shemen left. No, first what you do is you would take all the besamim, they would soak that in water so that it would be saturated with water, and then umetzif alav shemen. Then they would pour over the fully saturated besamim the oil, v'kolet esareich, the oil would get the aroma from the spices, ukfacho, and then stand there with to clean off that oil, and that was their Shemen HaMishcha that they would use. Samla Rabbi Yehuda, V'chinei Se'echa Nasa B'Shemen HaMishcha. Rabbi Yehuda says, what? You're rejecting my opinion that they would cook it because it can't be, there's not enough oil to pass it. You think there was only one nes that happened with the Shemen HaMishcha? When they first made the Shemen HaMishcha, they made 12 lug of it. And you know what they used it for? Umimenu, hayinim shach mishkan, v'kelav. They would anoint the mishkan, all of the kelim of the mishkan. Aaron, uvanav, Aaron and his children, kol shivas yimei miluim, each day for all 7 days of the miluim. V'kulo kayim lasadavo. And you know how much is left of the Shemen HaMishcha? 12 lug. So don't you see there are miracles going on over here? Shenemar Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh, he has Zeh Li L'Doroseichem. Zeh is gematria of 12, so we assume all 12 lug are still there, L'Doroseichem, still remain there forever. So that's at least one understanding of the Achronim and the Rishonim, how we're learning that all 12 lug stand, that it's based on the gematria of Zeh. Tanya Idach, we have another Brisa that also talks about the Shemen HaMishcha. V'yikach Moshe, Shemen HaMishcha, v'yimshach as a Mishcha, and that's called a Shabbat. Rabbi Yudom, Shemen HaMishcha, Shasu Moshe, v'midbar, kama nisim nasu bo mitchil v'atzof. Multiple miracles that happened with the Shemen HaMishcha from beginning to end. Tchilasa lo haya ela shnema selugan. It started as 12 lug of Shemen HaMishcha. Re'i kama yora bala'as. Cook anything and you'll see that the pot absorbs some of what you're cooking. V'kame ikarim bolim. Cook any liquid together with the salad and you'll see that the salad absorbs much of the liquid. V'kame or soref. Put anything over a fire and you'll see that the fire burns off a certain quantity. Ubo nimshach. And they use that shemen to for mishkan, v'kelav, v'aron, ubanav, kol shivis yimei amlum. Ubo nimshchu kohanim gedolim, umalachim. And they use it in later generations for kohanim gedolim and for kings throughout all the generations. And still they had all of it left. Vafilu Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol taught him Mashiach. The Brisa continues that a Kohen Gadol, even if he's the son of a Kohen Gadol, requires Mashiach. She'im Moshe Melech ben Melech. But we're not a son of a king who's becoming the king does not require Shemen HaMishcha. Vim Tomrei Ma Mashcha Shlomo. You'll ask, then why did Shlomo Melech need Shemen HaMishcha if a Melech ben Melech doesn't require it? Mimrei Machlokaso Shel Adoniyahu. Because Adoniyahu had tainas on Shlomo becoming the king, so whenever there was an argument and they needed to establish, no, this person is the king, they would use the Shemen HaMishcha even if it was not otherwise necessary. Ve'es Yoash, and that's why they used the Shemen HaMishcha for Yoash, even though he was the son of Achaziah, who is the Melech, Mipnei Atalia, because Atalia was arguing on Yoash's right to the Malchus. Ve'es Yehoachaz, and also they used the Shemen HaMishcha on Yehoachaz, even though he's Yoshio's son, Mipnei Yehoyakim, because his brother Yehoyakim, Sheyagadol Menesh Teishanim, was 2 years older than him. And therefore, there was a taina that maybe Yehoyakim should have been first in line to be the king. Va'uso Shemen Kaim, the Brisa continues, after using the Shemen for all of these people, every Kohen Gadol, and every Melech that was not a Ben Melech, and some of these Melechim that were a Ben Melech, Va'uso Shemen Kaim La'asalavo, the same Shemen is still there for La'asalavo. Shnemar Shemen Mishchas Chodesh, Yeh Zeh Li L'Doroseichem. Zeh, over here the Gemara is explicit, B'Gematria Shnema Salugin Hayu. The Zeh is a Gematria of Shnei Masur Lug, so you see all 12 lugs are still there. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this price. Amar Mar, Vafilu Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol taught Mashiach, Minalan. How do I know that a Kohen Gadol taking over for his father requires Mashiach? Tichsiv, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav. Name Akra, the Pasuk could have phrased it differently. VaKohen MiTachtav MiBanav. My HaMashiach, why does it have to add in the word of Mashiach? Even the son of a Kohen Gadol, only if he's Mashuach, becomes a Kohen Gadol. If he is not Mashuach, he does not become a Kohen Gadol. Amar Mar, Vein Moshkin Melech Ben Melech. We also said that you don't do Mashiach when someone is a king, the son of a king. Minalan, how do I know that to be true? Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov Dechsiv, Leman Yarech Yamim Al Mamlachto. So we darshan Yerusha Hilachem, that it's like a person who's Morish to his child, and therefore Melech ben Melech doesn't require Meshicha. But then the Brisa went on to say, except for this one and that one and that one who had Meshicha, even though they were Melech ben Melech. Why? Because there was some sort of Machlokas. How do I know that halacha, that when there's Machlokas you require Meshicha? So V'lav called the Bay Malka that when there's Machlokas you require Meshicha. V'lav called the Bay Malka Moris Machlus L'Bnei. And we don't just say that anyone who wants to become the Melech to can be Morish the Malchus to his son without a Meshicha. Amar Papa, Amar Kro, who uban of Bikar of Israel? We darshin bizman shalom bi Israel Karina Bey. Hu ubanav va'afilu b'lo meshicha. We only say it's an automatic of hu ubanav when it's beker of Yisrael, when there was when there's shalom. Tana af Yehu ben Nimshi lo nimshach el mnei machlokas v'shal Yoram. Yehu ben Nimshi only required meshicha because of the machlokas with Yoram ben Achav. V'tepekle mishum derishon hu. Wait, he required meshicha anyway because his father wasn't a melech. Says Mar, no, chisur mechsev achkatari. This is what we mean to say. Malchus beis David meshuchin, malchus Yisrael ein meshuchin. Only the malchus beis David requires Meshicha. Malchei Yisrael didn't have Meshicha. Minolan, how do I know that? Amarava Amakra, Kum Mashcheu Kizeh, Zeh Ton Meshicha, Veinacher Ton Meshicha. Only a Melech Beis David requires Meshicha, nobody else. Amar Mar, Af Yehu Ben Nimshi, Lo Nimshach, Al Mnei Malchasu Shal Yorim, O Mishum Malchasu Shal Yorim, Ben Achav Nimol B'Shemen. The Gemara says it doesn't make any sense. He was a Melech Yisrael. We gave him Meshicha just because there was a Machlokas. It's Mi'ila with the Shemen HaMishcha. Kedamar HaPapa, Ba'apars Madachya. Hachanami Ba'apars Madaka. They didn't use real Shemin HaMishcha on him. It was pretend Shemin HaMishcha that they used just to make it look like a Mashicha to put down the Machlokas. But Eina Chinami, for a Melech Yisrael, we wouldn't use real Shemin HaMishcha, only Malchei Beis David. Okay, Beis Shem, we'll pick up with the SEO Achaz tomorrow.